So on my way here, I randomly put on, like, a song came into my mind. Did you ever listen to Cartel when you're in high school?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
Okay.
But, okay, so a Cartel song came in my mind, and I was like, sorry. Just give me a second.
Guys, Taryn's a hot mess today. Please excuse this really rough intro compared to our already normally rough intros.
Okay, continuing. So I put Cartel on, and I put, like, my favorite album on, and I listened to it. I'm not joking. If I could, like, go back to, like, my best therapy session I've ever had, I swear this morning was more productive and, like, lifting my spirits.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, me, I'm marinating on it. I'm like, why? Like, why? It wasn't just, like, nostalgic and it made me happy. But I genuinely think when I listened to high school music, or, like, music that I was, like, really into as a kid, I feel like it, like, transfers you back there.
It does.
And when I was that version of myself, I was super innocent. I hadn't had my heart broken. I wasn't, like, really insecure about my body yet. Like,
pure joy.
I just was, like, trying to have fun with my friends and, like, listen to music. And I feel like it was, like, for a second, I was, like, that person again.
Yeah.
It was addicting.
Yeah.
It was addicting.
Yeah.
So if you're driving in the car right now, as soon as you, I almost said hang up.
As soon as you finish this episode.
As soon as you hang up from this phone call.
The requirement is to finish this episode.
Yes. Go back to your high school jam, and, like, not like your booty popping high school jam. I mean, like, your high school, like, the song you used to just sing at the top of your lungs, like, with the windows down. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What is the first thing that you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. And therapy can help you find out what matters to you so you can do more of it.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part of this is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsolicited today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsolicited. Are you guys a fan of the show? If you are, we have a VIP subscription that you can sign up to get much more of your girls here.
Become a premium subscriber and get access to exclusive episodes, ad-free listening, discounts on merch, and so much more. Plus, it's only $5 a month, which is way cheaper than your everyday latte.
To sign up, just go ahead and go to the show notes and you can click the link.
Also, if you have any stories that you would like us to read on our podcast, this is your moment to shine. Send your emails at, what's the email called, Taryn?
AdviceUnsolicitedPod@gmail.com. It can be funny. It can be sad. It can be deep. It can be light. It can be your story. It can be a friend's. It could be short. It could be long. All shapes and sizes are welcome. So send it in today.
The way Fall Out Boy, Sugar, We're Going Down, swinging, hits me.
Yes.
I come to life when I hear that song. I cannot get over that song. It's still one of the best songs, and it feels like summer.
Yes.
It feels like summer break in high school every time I hear it, even now in my 30s. I'm like, that song, nothing gets me more hyped than that
song.
You're
free.
I am a free bird.
Free bird.
And I'm ready for whatever life wants to give me. And that song makes me feel that way every time.
Yeah. No. Don't go to therapy.
Honestly,
listen to your old songs.
Honestly.
This is my last thing I'll say, because I'm sure we've already, like, rolled the credits. We're into the episode now. Michaela's like, will you two shut up already?
No, we're supposed to talk.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also feel really bad for, like, the generations that are growing up now, because I don't feel like it's the same. Mm-hmm. Like, we had, like, bands, and it was albums, and you were, like, in love with, like the shows, the atmosphere. And I think, yes, it's the same. Like, everyone loves going to concerts and they love artists, but it's, like, it's all these, like, single people, or, like, a hit will come out that you really like, or a song because it's on TikTok. Like, you don't, I feel like people aren't as, like, music doesn't like move in the same way that I feel like it did when we were younger. So I'm super curious, like besides obviously like Taylor Swift and like Beyonce and like, you know what I mean? But besides them, I'm really curious, like what music is still going to be around and have that nostalgia feeling. Like, whereas us, we have like Starting Line, Dashboard Confessional, Death Cab for Cutie, Postal Service. Like,
so
we
many
have
bands.
So many like bands. So I don't know. It's just interesting.
Speaking of TikTok, I saw a TikTok the other day. It was this black guy and he was like, I have a question for the white people out there. And then it's like quiet. He has like a funny face on his face or a funny look on his face. And he's like, where'd all the good alternative rock music go?
Seriously.
He's like, no, I'm serious. Like, I loved that. Like, what happened to it? And it was so funny because I was, all the comments were like, yeah. Where'd it go? Like, it did the last, like, I don't know, 5 to 8 years, like bands kind of dipped out and like solo artists kind of took over and it did form a more like, it is a more like hip hoppy pop vibe.
Yeah.
Instead of the like alternative rock vibe, which love both, obviously. But the way he said it was so funny.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, oh, yeah, I love that stuff. Like, where did it go?
Dude, what if, I wonder if like part of it was COVID.
Could have been.
Because most bands. Of the bands thrive on like sales from like live shows and like shows is where they hustle to get like the people in.
Right.
So maybe like they all had to get jobs.
Even like seeing each other to like make an album, which obviously I know you don't have to be in the same room to make an album, but like I feel like the chemistry and the magic in a band is being together.
Yeah, I agree.
So like
I agree from my days in my band. I don't know why I said that.
I agree from when I was, you know, in band in high school. I know these things.
I've always like joked with Ash that we should start this like sick girl band. And we always like laugh about it. But I'm half serious and she's not at all serious. So one day.
Yeah.
Can we release like a single? One night. One
night
only.
A Christmas single.
Yes. Absolutely.
We're like, happy holidays. Okay.
Jingle
bell. Okay. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, it's done.
What is something you're currently obsessing with? Could be anything.
Ooh. Oh, by the way, we're unsolicited advice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Unsolicited Advice. That's Tara and I'm Ashley.
Yep. Just anyways. In case, I was like, we've been talking for a while, so maybe if you're like, what am I listening to? We're a podcast. So. Right. I swear.
Back to the question.
Obsessed with.
Something you've been like just obsessing with lately.
Minus like my usuals.
Just, yeah. Well, I mean, could be a usual, but like something you're currently obsessing with. We can call this Obsessions Corner.
Obsessions Corner. I'm trying to like think of, oh, it's Girl Scout cookie season.
It is Girl Scout cookie season.
And I've already gone out of my way to like go to the grocery store where I know they'll be a few times.
Girl Scout pretty much assaulted me at my farmer's market to get me to buy some of her cookies and it worked.
Yeah, because they're so cute and the parents just stay back until it's time to pay. Well, they're so smart.
They're smart now. They're showing up and I'm like, oh, baby girl, like, I wish I don't have any cash on me.
They have Venmo.
And she's like, oh, we take Venmo. And I was like, Venmo. Well, damn, give me three.
No, you have no excuses anymore because they're nothing. Like, we'll take Venmo.
And they look up at you with those big eyes and they're just like, so we take Venmo.
Yeah.
And then the mom's just looking back going, atta girl, honey.
She's just standing there with her QR code ready.
Like, yeah. She's like, just scan here. Yeah, that girl made money at the farmer's market.
What are you? Are you the mint ones?
No, Samoas.
You're Samoas. Now they're called Caramel Delights.
Okay. That's what I thought. That's literally what I thought. And then the girl was like, oh, Samoas? And I was like, I thought
the package says Caramel Delights.
They don't. The one that I had.
What? Yeah.
Apparently it's like I don't know.
I thought my box, now I'm going to have to check. I thought mine said Caramel Delights.
I ended up having a conversation with a friend of mine on Instagram because she was like, oh my God, your box. We had this whole discussion. She was like, I think it might be region to region, like different. Possibly. Maybe,
so, or it kind of could, because I feel like they first did it because it sounded like Samoans.
Right.
And people were saying like it just, it wasn't like a good look. It didn't sound right. And so then maybe now like because it's like, oh, well, it's a different word. I honestly know nothing about like why they're called that. So I could be totally like ignorant in what I'm saying right now. But maybe it like came could back have. Because they're like, oh.
Could have. I always said caramel. I always said Samoas. And then I had heard that we don't say that anymore. So I was like, okay, Caramel Delights. And then this girl literally was like, Samoas. And I was like, what is happening? I don't know how to keep track. So now, just to be on the safe side, I feel like we should go Caramel Delights.
Yeah. You're right. I'm literally, while you tell us about your obsession, I'm going to look up the Girl Scout website and see what it says because I'm curious.
Okay. My current obsession is a TikToker. And I've been obsessed with her for a while now, but she's currently pregnant and I just cannot not watch her content.
Is it that fully. Girl that cooks?
Nara, yeah.
She's like, today for breakfast, my
she's all I want to be when I grow up.
But it's so unrealistic.
But I love it. I love this girl is pregnant with her second child, but she already has two. One is her husband's kid and one is theirs. And now they're about to have a third. To be honest, she clearly has a nanny and someone taking care of the kids. There's no way that you can get ready every single day, have a full beat like that, and put together like homemade meals for everybody. But I love it.
No, it
I
is
live for it.
It's very satisfying, but I feel like it. Part of me is like, is this because I feel like it comes off like this is just my like normal night. Like this is just what I do.
I mean, but I'm like, they're wealthy.
Oh, you can tell.
So it's like it probably is her normal night. I wouldn't be shocked.
I just like, I have a hard time when I'm like, this makes me feel like I'll never achieve this level of greatness. Yeah. But is it really your greatness all the time? Or are you just making me feel like crap about myself?
No. Socials is all fake. Most of it.
Yeah.
So like, obviously, I think it's safe to say she has a nanny who's taking care of the kids every single day.
The way her content is filmed.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. The angles, the lighting, everything's beautiful. Like, beautiful. I'm like, can I know your setup, please?
Her lip combo slays every time.
Yeah.
And I just can't get enough of her.
She's been coming across my page a lot, probably because I've been around you.
Probably. I mean, I've been obsessed with her for a while now.
Yeah.
And then I feel like she hit some kind of thing and took off.
Oh, she took off,
and now everyone's talking about her. Everyone's talking about her and her husband, and everyone's talking about her and their religion, and everyone's talking about
what's his family.
They're Mormon.
Oh, okay.
And he is some like really top model. And she also models. That's how they met. And they have kids together now.
I think it's very annoying when models marry each other.
And I'm like, that's too much pretty in one family. Like their kids, they're going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
She doesn't show their faces, which I appreciate, obviously. But you can tell they're gorgeous. And I'm just like, well, we're out here trying our best.
Like us just praying that our kids don't have like snaggle tooths. Yeah. That they run straight something.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man.
I looked it up and it's Samoas. They changed it back.
Isn't that weird?
That is super weird.
It totally threw me off. The girl was like, oh, no, that's Samoas. I was like, Caramel Delights? And they said Samoas.
No, because for a while, like when it I would say strictly Samoas, they were like, it's Caramel Delights. Like I would feel shamed of that I said that.
It's so funny how those little kids would make you feel awful.
Yeah.
For being like,
you said a bad
they're
word.
Called Caramel Delights. And I'd be like, oh,
sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Good times.
Apologizing to a little 8-year-old.
Yeah. Did you ever do... I didn't do any... Oh, I did Awanas.
What's Awanas?
Is it Awana? The like Christian version of Girl Scouts?
Oh, of course there's a Christian version.
It was, through a
Girl
church.
Girl Scouts is too secular.
And we had vests and you got like patches for doing different things and little things you put on your...
I just spilt my Celsius.
Yeah, it just poured right out of your mouth.
Hopefully my skin will absorb it and I'll still get the energy.
Like Jess when she's like, it's possible.
I'm on cocaine.
No meth.
Oh, I thought it was through her crack cocaine
through her
episode.
Boob skin. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What is the first thing that you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. And therapy can help you find out what matters to you so you can do more of it.
A few years ago, therapy absolutely changed my life as well as my family's life. If you haven't given it a shot, you really, really should. I think a lot of people have skewed views on what therapy is, but therapy can be so much more. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It really is not just for those who have experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part of this is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
When I was doing therapy through BetterHelp, I switched therapists twice until I found like my actual perfect gem of a therapist. And we totally believe in working hard till you find that right fit for you. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsolicited today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsolicited.
Let's go ahead and get into the tearing it up section. This is where you guys specifically send in funny, embarrassing moments so that we can all laugh at you. Mm-hmm. This one is titled, Always Double Check Your Links. Hello, my favorite podcasting ladies. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Ashley was like giving me like direction. Nods and hand signals I was supposed to do something.
She said hello. I thought it'd be fun if we said hello.
Hello.
Thank you for making every Monday and Thursday woohoo supercast.
More fun. Like, what's Thursday? Yeah, supercast.
That's right, guys. If you didn't know, you can get bonus content of Taryn and I every single Thursday on our premium
subscription
service. I blacked out.
It's basically VIP content that's like super raw and unfiltered, which is, you know, how we are in general. But
a lot of you guys send us shorties.
We do shorties. We do one scary episode a month and AMAs. It's a great time.
We now have a title for our scary episodes.
Yeah, I always forget. I'm like, the Supercast people know, but you guys don't know. So we were trying to come up with like a name for our scary episodes, and Ash had an idea, but we were like, let's open it up to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And someone DM'd us and was like, what about super scaries? Because it's like Supercast and Scary Stories. Uh-huh. So yeah, they're called Scooper.
It's essentially Scoopers. They're called Scooper.
Scooper Scaries.
God.
Thanks to our girl, Sydney, who DM'd us the idea.
Thanks, Sydney.
It got me a little bit. I didn't love it because it was a AP, if you guys forgot, a live perp. And I definitely was like,
it was a good one.
A little freaked out.
Super good. So definitely check us out there. It's essentially our October series once a month on our premium subscription service. So check us out there for more content and scary stories.
Content.
Okay, back to the tearing it up. As I am between jobs currently and reminiscing, I think it's time I share quite an embarrassing tearing it up. I work in the art department of the TV and film industry, and when I first started out, one of my main tasks every day was to pick up lunch for everyone. I would send an email to the whole team every morning of where we would be going to lunch and link the actual menu for them to choose what they wanted. There was a cute boy who worked on the production staff that I had a crush on. Like any normal person, I of course stalked him on social media. As do we all.
Duh. Also, okay, small tangent. I have been following a lot of guys that I thought were cute from their dating profiles.
Uh-huh.
Because most of the time they like put their link and then it's private, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, well, I want to see who you are. So I do it. But then I forget. So like my feed is just all these men that I'm like, I have no idea who this is. So I've started unfollowing because I'm like, I don't know who you are. And obviously me following you didn't like spark a conversation.
Right.
But I don't know why I'm telling you that, but I'm done. So continue.
Cool.
With the story.
Cool.
The way you throw no bones to me whenever I say something that doesn't interest you. Like when you say something, I try to be like,
well, I was trying
I've done that before.
For the like real connection between that and this. And there's like kinda, but it wasn't like,
oh yeah, there's really
it wasn't like interrupt me in the middle of my story. Good.
Relevant.
Okay.
Okay.
Jeez.
You were just staring at me with these dead eyes, like, shut your stupid mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your stupid mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, finish. Sorry.
Oh, man, that was funny. She says, like any normal person, I stalked him on social media. I told one of my friends about him and sent her the link to his Facebook because we're girls and we're going to stalk our friends' crushes on Facebook, right?
Duh.
So I go about my morning routine, print drawings, walk the stages, send out my lunch email, etc. I'm sitting at my desk when one of my coworkers walks over to me and says, I'm not going to order lunch today. I don't want what's on the menu.
Wait, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, okay, that's fine. Usually he just responds to my email if he doesn't want lunch, but kind of weird. Whatever. A few minutes go by and I get an email about lunch from another coworker saying, thanks for including me, but I'm not looking for that for lunch. Again, I was confused about the response. After 15 minutes, another coworker leans over his desk and yells at me to check the link.
Oh my gosh.
I opened the link that I sent for our lunch that day and panicked. Yep, I sent this man's Facebook to my entire department and some people from his department too. A total.
Wait, the guy is someone that works there?
Yeah.
I totally missed that detail and that makes it 50,000 times worse.
Yes, yes. So there's a huge possibility he saw this.
Oh, absolutely.
A total of about 30 people got my email with his link.
Oh, no.
Thank God he wasn't on the actual email chain, but I'm sure someone told him or showed him.
Yeah.
I quickly responded with the correct menu link and told everyone to ignore the previous one, praying they didn't even open it. To make matters worse, on every lunch email every day, I wrote a dad joke at the bottom.
Oh, love that.
That day's joke was, what did one boat say to the other? You're so romantic. And even the joke was about love. My face has never been so red. Everyone joked around about it. And at the end, it wasn't too bad, but I'm still mortified. I never mentioned anything to the cute boy and never saw him after that job. However, I am still single.
Unrelated.
Unrelated. Still single. This gave you a good laugh and remember to always double check your links. She also included that she worked on one of the Star Wars shows and wants to keep it confidential. So I'll show you later. But thank you so much for writing in. You're literally like Taryn's dream girl. Dad jokes and Star Wars content.
I need to like be an extra on a Star Wars movie.
Seriously.
Imagine if you just see me in the background like running in like a stormtrooper uniform and I'm just like.
I was talking to a friend about, we both read Fourth Wing and we're obsessed with it. And we were both like, how do we get to be an extra? Like just in the background.
No.
I don't want to act. I'm not trying to be like main lead. I just want to be there and be a part of it.
No, literally.
You know.
I know. I really want to, like, I just want to, like, see if that life fits me because I just really feel like that could just provide some, like, cool experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
100%. Well, thanks for writing in, Anonymous.
Yes, thank you so much. Let's continue, you know, staying on track. Look at us.
Let's.
We got on.
We're professional.
Okay, we will get on to the first story. This one is titled Not Fitting In with Family.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't think we've talked about anything like this, so I'm really curious.
Not specifically that I know of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Hello, I really enjoy your podcast and I'm looking for some advice. My name is Can you bleep it, Michaela, please? And I am a 31-year-old male listener.
Wow. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Welcome. From Colorado, but my family lives in the Midwest. Growing up, we were close, but I also was not always nice to my younger sister. Ever since I made the move far away, I feel a deep, growing disconnect between the rest of my family and myself. I think it boils down to a couple factors. One, I'm older than my sister by several years, and when I was in college, she got to have essentially a single child relationship with my parents, and since then has had a much deeper relationship with my father than I do. And then he put in parentheses, even though he denies it. too. I've changed a lot as a person, and I don't think they always like it. I've found new passions, and they don't always align with the views my family had of me as a younger kid. I've done a lot of work on trying to come off less cold as a person, and I think sometimes they feel I'm faking it. Number three, the big one. My sister got married several years ago to a guy who I believe is a lot more like I used to be. They live much closer to my parents and see them a lot more. They are more enmeshed with my sister's life than they could ever be for mine. I also feel like my sister will never be open to repairing emotional ties because she has a husband who is her emotional support all the time. Why would she care about her brother? All of those reasons add up to me feeling very awkward and like I don't belong anymore. I am admittedly very sensitive and can potentially be guilty of making things up in my head, but some behaviors like derogatory speech, never asking hard important questions, not having common interests are undeniable. It's emotionally damaging to feel like you have zero in common with the people you are supposed to be the most like, and it's hard to see it ever getting better since I live so far away. Also, most of the people I know are super involved and have amazing relationships with their family. He's an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
So voicing any type of dissent makes me stick out even more. Any advice would be appreciated for trying to fit in better or make sense of it all. This is super hard to talk about, so typing it out made me feel better. Thank you for all you do. Love, Anonymous.
Damn.
I know. This makes me sad.
That's so tough.
Yeah.
It's already hard enough when you're like not fitting in with your friend group or not fitting in at work, but your family is supposed to be your safe space. And I can't imagine feeling that way about my family for like holidays or dinners or like whatever. Like that's supposed to be where you feel you're most comfortable, like to be yourself.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
I think too, I mean, this is like, I feel like one thing I want to say is because like I am one of those people who is really close to my family, and I just want to say, and I know this can't apply to everybody, but if ever I have someone talk to me about a family relationship that they're struggling with, I never, like, I would never have that be something that caused me to feel like, oh, I can't relate to you, we're not the same, like, ever. If anything, I would be very empathetic to those people and like want to like be a support if they were like going through something. So that plus the thing where you said like sometimes you can be guilty of making things up in your head. I feel like you should give people the benefit of the doubt until they like tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
Like it'd be different if you're sharing stuff about your family and people are like literally like, oh, well, I can't relate and move on in the conversation. But I feel like don't not share pieces of your life that are hard because you're assuming someone wouldn't care. Like give them the reason to show that they're the worst and don't care before you like treat them as if that's what they're going to do. Because if you're feeling stripped and not supported from like your family, then the other people in your life need to make up a big portion of that. And they're going to want to be there for you in times, especially if like this is something that's causing you a lot of pain.
Yeah. I also, there's a couple things I want to say. First of all, in relationships, especially in situations where you feel like things are very obvious, doesn't mean that they're very obvious for other people.
Yeah.
I oftentimes fall on the other side of nothing felt obvious to me. And if you don't tell me something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I know it's uncomfortable with family stuff sometimes. And sometimes you don't necessarily feel like being open and sharing those things with those people. But sometimes you need to like at least give them a heads up of what's going on so they have an opportunity to fix it before you full on like cut them off.
Shut down.
You know, like especially because they're your family. I would want, if this was my sister talking, for example, I would want her to come to me and at least once tell me that she feels like I don't care about her, that I'm leaving her out of the loop, that I'm not reaching out to her. Like I would want her to tell me that so that I could then have an opportunity to fix it. Even if she thought I knew, even if she thought I could tell, I would still want that and I would expect that from her, so so that I could fix things.
Yeah.
So I would, I 100% think at least one of the people in your family have no clue. I'm sure. I'm like 99% sure at least one person has no idea, and you need to give them a heads up so that they can fix things. And then the second thing I want to say is I can't imagine. Yes, I know like partners can be your emotional support. Like I feel like I have an emotional support in my boyfriend, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't care about my sibling.
Yeah.
And the way that you're putting your sister, the picture that you're painting of your sister not caring about you anymore because she has her life partner to like depend on doesn't make sense to me. So I feel like you might need to have that conversation with her and like give her an opportunity to catch up with how you're feeling, because I feel like she might not know.
Well, I think too, because like he's saying that like they already had kind of like a damaged relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I don't feel like she needs to like repair it as much because she's already used to not needing me in her life. And now she has someone else that she depends on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why is she going to like care to fix things if she's already like good with how things are? That's the way I read it. But I think either way, that's not like, that could not be accurate to how she really feels. Like
right.
She might be used to just living her life without you. That doesn't mean that she wouldn't love you also being involved.
Yeah. If she was given the opportunity of like being able to have her husband and her brother in her life, like.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a dream. And I'm sure she would want that. Obviously, I don't know her, but
yeah.
I'm sure that's something that she would want to pursue if you told her that that's something you want to pursue.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter of making it clear what you're wanting and like what you're hoping could be in your guys' future. Because if you were like, hey, like, I know things have been weird. I know you're married and happy, but like, I'm not happy with our relationship and where it's at. And I want to like be able to grow deeper in like our brother sister relationship.
Yeah.
And I would love to like have some like sibling time so I can honestly like get to know you better.
Yeah.
Since it sounds like you guys have a strained one. That sounds beautiful to me.
Yeah. And I think too, like you made a comment like you must have said something to your parents or your dad, because you said he has a deeper relationship with your sister, and then you said he denies it. Like I would be curious, because like you've said, like you can be more emotional or kind of like take things to an extent that like might not be matched with reality, which I'm totally guilty of too. But I think like what I've learned is sometimes like my friends or family are used to my passing comments where I'm like, you hate me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you invited everyone, not me. Like, oh, cool. I'm glad I'm important. And they're like, Taryn, stop.
Even I'm
like,
used to that.
Yeah, that's what I said. My family and friends, Ash, it's you. But I think like, you know, if you've said stuff like, well, you obviously have a better relationship with her now, and your dad's like, no, like that's not true. Like it moves on. I think there's a difference where sometimes us who are more emo and more prone to just like spill out our feelings and spill out what we're like thinking or saying, sometimes it takes actually like sitting and being like, hey, I'm actually like really going through something with this, and like I would love for us to have like a serious conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
And try to take emotion out of it and just present like, I'm feeling like this because of these examples, and then actually make sure like you're having a conversation where like they're hearing you.
Absolutely.
And they're not just thinking like, oh, this is just Taryn being Taryn, or like, you know what I mean? Like be intentional about it.
It's the boy who cried wolf syndrome.
Yeah.
Like if you hear someone say stuff all the time about them being hurt or feeling left out or whatever, when something actually happens and they say it, you're just going to be, you write it off as like, oh, it's just another whatever. So it is in a way up to you to make it clear that there's a difference between what you always say versus something actually happened to me and we need to talk about this.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean like everything you say or when you have those little moments, it's not valid. Like your emotions matter for sure. But I think sometimes people do get almost like immune to it, or mm-hmm. like they don't take it as serious. So I feel like you should have a more serious conversation about it. The second thing I'll say, and something I've learned, I am It's so funny because sometimes I feel like I'm like the glue in my family, and then other times I feel like I'm the odd one out in my family. And I think I used to take things very, very personal. Like when all of a sudden someone would send in the family text like, okay, see you guys all at the game tonight, or like, what time's everybody getting there? I'd be like, where?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
Why am I the only one who doesn't know about this? And I used to get really upset and like have my feelings hurt by it. And I feel like the older I've gotten and the more I've come to just, I think, trust the people in my life that they mean it when they say they love me and I'm important to them. Mm-hmm. I've realized like it's not personal. Like it just happened to be something where like they all had had something where they had talked about it, or they talked about it in a group text and forgot to send it in the family one. And it's not personal. Mm-hmm. But when I take it personal, I create my own drama in my mind.
Yeah.
So then I show up and I'm quiet and I'm like standoffish. Yeah. And I'm like mad at everyone. So then they're like, what's her problem? And kind of standoffish too. Like, it's like I create my own drama in my mind versus now, like, I'll just respond and be like, what game? And they're like, oh, sorry, Tara, I forgot to tell you. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, cool. And I like give them crap and then I move on. So I think sometimes you need to realize that with you being gone, sometimes that distance just creates like you're not in the same circle. Like, you didn't go to eat dinner after like that one thing, that one time, and then that's where something was talked about. And mm-hmm. It's not an intentional leaving out. It's just sometimes what happens when there's like distance.
It's life. Yeah. Yeah. That's very normal.
I think instead of waiting for them to come to you, if that's a desire you have, then do something. Like, be like, hey, can we like Sunday afternoons, can we like FaceTime and like send a calendar invite and be like, every like Sunday at whatever is a good time that they're usually like home and not doing something,
yeah,
have it be a calendar thing. And if you guys miss, you miss, and it's not a big deal. But like, you try to prioritize time where you can just chat and like do things like where Ash is like, what's your latest obsession, or mm-hmm. You know, good thing, bad thing, like whatever it is, to just create more of a rhythm of talking to each other. And then hopefully that'll create that normalcy that you're desiring, you know?
Yeah. I love that a lot.
Ugh, it's just, it's hard when you feel...
Especially family.
Alienated, yeah.
Especially family. That's really tough.
But yeah, you need to, next time you're down, be like, tell your sister, like, hey, can we go get coffee, just the two of us?
Yeah.
And like, go. Like, it's your sister. Like, that's not weird. And if it is weird, you push through the weirdness till it feels more normal.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Joke about it. You'll be like, well, this is weird.
Yeah. It's not just like us? We grew up together.
Yeah.
It's not like we share the same blood, lol.
Yeah.
Like, keep going with it.
And not like I made any drastic moves, but like, I've made two like moves in my life that were far away from where I had been. And each time I was aware that like life is going to go on there.
Yeah.
And like there's going to be parties that I don't go to, and there's going to be birthdays that I'm not invited to. And it's just, it's part of not being there.
Well, and you've had moments where you and Alicia were super close and then mm-hmm. You were super distant.
Yeah.
And you've had to, like, all of us have had that with our siblings where we felt like a kind of like a drift, and you do work to bring it back together. Like, just because you're brother and sister or sister and sister, it doesn't mean that it's just like always going to be fluid and like whatever.
Absolutely.
Like, sometimes
not.
You have to work at those relationships too.
Yeah. I have a stepbrother who I never see. We never talk.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that we're strained in any way, but he's significantly older than me, and we never see each other. He lives in a different part of the country. And I love when I get a random text from him, because I know that's him working towards our relationship. And so I also, like, his birthday's coming up, like, I'm gonna like make sure I reach out and check in on him. And I never expected to like talk with him every single day. I don't expect a phone call, video, FaceTime, yeah, whatever, all the time. But like, I appreciate when he reaches out, and I know he appreciates when I reach out. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see each other more in the future. But I'm like very content with like knowing that those texts mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I hope my texts mean a lot to him. And I think you can come up with stuff for those weird in-betweens.
Yeah.
Like, every time you visit, having just one coffee date, just the two of you. What a great way to start.
Oh, for sure. And I think too, like with everything in life, like when you're hurt by something, everything seems bigger and you fixate more. So like when, like if stuff was ever weird between me and Ash, and like you said earlier, like, so you're like, sometimes I didn't know, like, unless someone told me, but no, yeah. There would be so many of those where I would be like, it's so obvious I'm upset. And then I'd be so pissed if she wasn't like checking in on me or something. Yeah. And every interaction we had was through this lens of like me being hurt by everything. Like it didn't matter what you did. Mm-hmm. If you like didn't offer something where it's like, when have you ever offered that? But that one time, because I was sensitive, I was so upset.
Yeah.
And it's like when you live in that, I'm like, I don't want to say victim mentality, because it's not, I don't think you're like making anything up or like you don't deserve to feel sad for those things. But it is almost like a,
I would put it in extra, that category.
Extra sensitive state where every interaction you're reading into versus like, if you get a text or don't get a text, you're like, oh, okay, like she'll text me later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think what I would really work towards is figuring out how to get out of that place, so then you can read your interactions just as they are, as interactions. And then it'll feel less suffocating.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it is the victim mentality category. And if you are already, if you wake up and you're already perceiving yourself as, you know, poor me, or all this is happening to me, or how come my life is all this stuff always happens to me, never anyone else. Then when someone does reach out, you're already gonna like start twisting anything they say into a negative perspective, because they didn't say it the right way, or they're talking about a trip they're going on that you weren't invited to. And of course you're gonna take it that way, because you're already in that state. Like you're already in that lane.
You're just sensitive. Like you're hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you continue to not address the hurt, then anything anyone says, I'm not talking about like family, it could literally anyone, could be a coworker, could be some neighbor that walks by that pisses you off, like everything's going to be projected at you instead of just happening, you know, and you're automatically going to take it that way because you're already in that lane. So it's a matter of readjusting and getting yourself in a better lane. Then you can better hear other people out. I hope that made sense.
No, it makes sense, because I do feel like anonymous in the way, just certain things that I'm like, you know, trying to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you view yourself as someone who's important and deserves
or worthy of
to be loved and like paid attention to. Yeah.
Worthy of a sibling that loves you.
So I want to make it clear, you're not an inconvenience. Yeah. Like people want you in their life. And if you are an elementary school teacher, I already know you're a gem of a human. Yeah. Like, so I feel like you need to like maybe do some self-work to remind yourself who you are and what you deserve. And then let people enjoy you and don't question it. Just be like, oh, they didn't ask me to lunch because they feel bad for me. They asked me to lunch because they want to go to lunch with me. Like sometimes it's just that simple.
They wouldn't have asked you to lunch if they didn't want to have lunch with you. And sometimes, like Taryn said, like you create this drama in your head when you have zero evidence of that drama.
Yeah.
That's just your insecurity / pain, like lashing out and telling you that you don't deserve a lunch. With your friends or family.
Or to share your problems with people. Like everybody else shares their problems. Yeah. Like give yourself a break. Like I think you're underestimating who you are.
Yes.
And I think you need to let people be there for you and love you. And you need to like reach out to your family and find ways to feel more connected.
Well said, Taryn.
Thanks, boo boo.
Well, let's go ahead and get into my story. This one is titled, "His love language is physical touch, and lately mine isn't." Hello, ladies. I couldn't decide which name to put first.
Taryn.
It's A before T.
Taryn, because
it's
she's
alphabetical.
Cool.
I think we
she's
all
so funny.
We figured that out already.
Amazing.
I'm so excited to be writing to the podcast for the very first time.
Welcome.
I have been listening to the pod since 2022 and recently caught up with all the episodes, including the Supercast ones. Hello. Wow. It's a Supercast day.
Wow.
Wow.
We didn't plan this.
We did not.
Or did we?
This was a paid write. I was like, hi, send it in. She continues, "I have been loving how raw you are in those, because I'm already up to date. I'm not sure what to listen to anymore. I may have to give them a second round." You probably should.
Probably should.
And when you do, you should probably rate each one and leave us a good review.
Oh.
and then send them to a friend.
For sure.
A different friend every time.
For sure.
That's your homework.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's get to the advice part. First, I'm 27 years old and an Enneagram 6, and my second highest result was an Enneagram 1.
Okay.
My boyfriend is the same age, 27, and is an Enneagram 5. A little backstory about our relationship. We have been together for almost 2 years, and before we started dating, we were friends. We spend a lot of time together on a day-to-day basis. We don't live together, but he or I come to my / his house several times a week. Literally, that's me right now.
Yeah.
She continues, when we started our relationship, we discussed our love languages and even created a Notion page with our main ones.
Love that.
Mine are quality time and gifts, and his are physical touch and acts of service. We have managed to give our love in the way that we love to do it, but it has been kind of difficult to receive the physical touch on my end in the last few months. In the early months of our relationship, we had that honeymoon phase in which we could not get over each other. But as time passed, it's a bit more difficult to be intimate between us. Because his love language is physical touch, he still likes to be playful with me, but sometimes I feel like it's more on the joking side rather than something to be taken seriously. So I laugh, but don't continue and tend to avoid the physical touch. And don't get me wrong, I love a good hug or kiss, but the intimate part has become weird. There have been times when I have initiated the contact and he seems like he doesn't feel like it either. So I think both of us end up just not. We have had some struggles with weight as it has been fluctuating a lot for both of us lately in the last year due to other stress generators. And I think that has affected our confidence in how we look, which has led possibly to these intimacy issues. I have been working out and feeling better with my image, but the problem still persists. The other thing is that these more serious topics are complicated to discuss with each other. So I haven't had the courage to have a deep talk about it with him. I mentioned small comments that sometimes I don't feel like it, but that's it. I consider that intimacy is really important in our relationship, so I'm afraid that this could be a deal breaker. I think we can work it out, but it will take effort from both of us. How do you think I could handle this situation? Any advice would be greatly appreciated and highly solicited. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this email. I hope it makes it on the pod, but if not, I'm happy that I was able to write it out. Love you both the mostest.
Aww.
Anonymous.
This is, I feel like we had two very interesting topics.
Very interesting topics. And I think very common topics.
Yeah.
It's funny that we don't talk about them that often.
Yeah.
First of all, I feel like there's a lot we could talk about here. But I think one of the number one things is I think people think that intimacy, not necessarily just sex, but just like that, like loving intimacy, like being able to like touch someone on the shoulder and feel like that connection. I think people think that that's the easy part of a relationship, but that's something that does fade. And I am very grateful to have had parents who have been together for so long, who have been able to share that knowledge with me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's something people talk about a lot, about how those feelings change and fade, and sometimes they grow in seasons and sometimes they lessen in seasons, and things like kids will really throw them off, and things like work can really throw them off. And I think it's actually super normal to go through phases like this where you're just,
yeah,
it's just not the number one priority. And you guys have been together for 2 years.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that that could come, but I think the question is, are you willing to work at it to get over this little hump or not? Because you said deal breaker. I don't think it's a deal breaker. I think it's just a phase and a chapter that you can get past if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I think too, I mean, I'm curious about, I feel like when people think of like physical touch as a love language, physical touch is not just intimate stuff.
Yeah, it's not just sex.
I feel like for me, because physical touch is one of my love languages.
Same.
And from what I'm hearing for you, if I throughout the day was trying to subconsciously probably too, like initiate physical touch through the day, whether it's like jokey, like I, you know, come up behind and just like grab, or I'm like pushing, or like, you know what I mean? Like jokey, like physical touch moments. Mm-hmm. And my partner is non-responsive, or I'm like wow, she actually seems annoyed. I'm talking from him. I'm into boys. Just want to make that clear. Just thought I'd.
Terrence Stray, unless any of you ladies were trying to come
at
her.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. And I'm looking for a man. I was talking from the man. Anyways.
POV, you're the man.
So distracted. So distracted. I think that that would start to affect me. Mm-hmm. And then if all of a sudden later in the night, then all of a sudden my partner starts to like get handsy with me because they want to get intimate, I would have a hard time with that.
Oh, yeah. If my boyfriend came over, didn't really kiss me hello, barely made eye contact, didn't put his hand around me like while we were watching a movie or didn't cuddle, I'd be like, are you okay?
But step further, when you tried to, he was like,
yeah, like just like hands off.
Yeah. So I think that like I wouldn't be surprised if those little moments where he's trying to create that connection and feeling rejected are starting to build up to where he's like, she doesn't even want to touch me.
Yeah.
So then when you do initiate, he's like so in his head, or he's like, I don't like, she's just doing this for pity. Like, obviously she doesn't like, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if like wires are getting crossed, because I know I've mentioned it before, but there was like one time where my ex was like, I want to really work on our communication, so I don't want to touch as much. So like not hold hands, like hugging, like if we're walking down the street, like we're just talking, not holding hands.
That's very extreme. Oh, also,
yeah, he was very like in his mind about like, oh, we should try this. So which for me, that was the most damaging thing that could have happened,
right?
And his whole approach of like wanting us to get closer because our communication and whatever, actually I started feeling more and more distant and uncomfortable in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Because every time I'd approach him and want to like hug him or hold his hand, I would feel awkward. Mm-hmm. And like withdraw, and so it was very confusing for me. So I wouldn't be surprised if like he's picking up on how you're like, ugh, I don't want, what is he doing, like why is he trying to tickle me, like I'm not a child. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which is how I'm reading it. Like, it's just not what you value as like a like moment of connection. You're just like, he's being funny. Like, why is he doing this? I wouldn't be surprised if those are chipping away at his feeling connected to you, mm-hmm. which is now impacting his like want to be intimate later. That's one thing. The second thing is like you made a comment about like those conversations are hard. This is an area when a relationship is feeling awkward and you're just like bumping into each other and like whatever, you're not going to get past it until you address
Someone has to talk
about
it. You
got to talk about
Someone it. Someone has to bring it up. Someone has to take that step and be like, hey, you're feeling this, right? Because I'm feeling this. Are you feeling this? Can we talk about it? And I don't think you necessarily need to have an icebreaker for it. I think with things like this, just be raw and just be like, so this has been weird lately, right?
Yeah.
Like it's almost better to just do that. And I've never been good at like leading into conversations. Sometimes I just end up saying it because I don't know how else to start it, but I'd rather say it awkwardly and have an honest, open conversation about it than like tiptoe around and try to figure it out, you know? And I think it sounds like it's really, really affecting you. It sounds like it's affecting him too, but since you wrote in, I think you should just take the plunge. And next time you guys have a moment, just the two of you guys, and it's a good time to talk, I would just bring it up cold. I would literally just be like, hey, can I ask you a question? Has it been weird physically with us? Like, I've been feeling weird. I don't know if it's in my head. I don't know if you're feeling it as well, but I miss how we used to be. And this could be 50% me, 50% you. This could be all in my head. Like, I don't know what's going on, but we need to figure it out. Cause that is an important part of the relationship.
I was gonna say the deal breaker in this whole topic is if you guys can't come together and talk through
and work through it.
Yeah, because no relationship's gonna last if you don't fight for each other and fight to get better.
Yeah.
So,
and not bringing it up is really the deal breaker on both sides, not just you.
No, for
but
sure.
I'm assuming he's picking up on it as well.
And like, I mean, you mentioned like your weight fluctuation, which I like totally understand and can relate to how that can totally just cloud your view of yourself and kind of make you question.
You're not happy with yourself, so you're assuming that they're not happy with you either.
But I do think, like, I think that's another thing, like, in a relationship, you should be sharing. Like, if I'm in a relationship with someone and I'm really struggling with my body, I'm going to talk to them about it and I'm going to help them with, like, how I need to be talked to in that time. Like, I did that even with Ash when I was going through it. I was like, hey, right now, like, I just can't talk about my body. Or I'd be like, hey, right now, like, I would love encouragements every once in a while. Like, I think you need to, like, create a better communication with each other so that you know when each other is struggling or what you could help them with.
Yeah.
And I also think that, like, maybe it's time to, like, dive in. The six is the investigator, right?
The six is the loyalist slash investigator. Okay.
But you said your next highest is a one, who ones are very type A productive.
Very type A.
So maybe we need to have a night where we print out all the material on love languages and articles about how to meet a partner when your love language is different and sit and, like, go through it and be like, oh, I didn't realize, like, physical touch was this. Or have conversations where you're like, hey, I know you don't like being hugged, but I do like to hug you. So what, like, how's a way that, like, I can know when it's a right time or not? And have him sit there and tell you, like, okay, well, this is this, and this makes me feel like this. Like, actually, like, productively talk about it so you can, like, learn each other's rhythm. Like, I don't think it's realistic to be like, oh, you find your right person when you just, you're there and every hug feels perfectly there and you're never grossed out by them when they have something in their teeth or, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think, like, sometimes you work at things and you figure out how to, like, figure out your own rhythm and how it can fit into another person's.
1,000%. And as far as body image goes, nothing makes me feel better than a new cute fit. And this can go in bed too. If you're trying to pick out, I highly encourage you to pick out the cutest little lingerie set. Or if you're going out a date night, like, go pick out, like, the cutest, most flattering little dress that hugs in all the right places, or, like, top that hugs in all the right places. And I swear that makes me feel better every single time, even on days where I'm not feeling my best. Having that, like, go-to pair of pants or that go-to sweater, whatever it is that makes you feel good, I feel like that would make me feel better with intimacy things if I know I looked good that day with my, like, little fit.
Yeah, and I think it's just taking, like, whatever steps you need to in that moment and knowing, like, what are areas, like, if you're like, hey, I really don't feel like anything fits me and, like, clothes just give me anxiety, like, you can wear, like, a baggy sweatsuit but still, like, do your makeup or your hair or, like, plan an activity that you're like, I'm not going to be in my mind if, like, we're doing this. Like, I think that the whole thing is, like, don't just stew in that place. Like, take steps to know, like, what makes you feel better. Like, Ash has learned in her life, a new fit makes me feel good and it makes me feel, like, confident in stepping out. And, like, for me, it's, like, a lot more of, like, a self-work type thing was, like, what I needed in those moments. But I think the whole point is don't marinate in it. Like, be productive and find your things that boost that confidence. And then also work with your partner and find those things that will boost your communication or your intimacy or whatever it is that you're, like, working towards. Yeah. Like, find those steps. Don't just sit in it. Like, find your rhythm. Find your language you need with each other where if you're like, hey, and I would literally say this to him, hey, sometimes I just don't want to be touched and it's nothing personal. Like, it's nothing about you or that I'm grossed out by you or whatever, but just me personally, like a sensory thing, I just don't want to be touched. So please tell me what's something that I could tell you to signal to you that I'm feeling that you won't feel personally attacked. I would love if someone asked me that. And I'd be like, honestly, like, yeah, like say pineapple or something, to where I know in that moment, oh, she doesn't want to be touched, but this isn't personal. Mm-hmm. Where I knew if you looked at me and were like, hey, can you not touch me? I would take that personally.
Yeah.
So it's like finding the language, finding the rhythm, finding the productive steps that'll take you out of those moments, and then putting it all together and working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, again, things like this happen. Chapters like this happen. This is actually super, super normal. I don't think this has anything to do with just you or just him. I think this is just a phase of your relationship that the two of you together have to get past. And if you can get past this, it's not a deal breaker. I think that that's only going to make you stronger for the next phase that comes your way,
the
next bump that comes in the road. And being able to talk openly about these things is so important. And I think keeping it all in your head is only going to cause you to resent him when you do reach out and he rejects it because you've been ignoring him for the past week.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what to do with it. You know, like,
it's not a conflict. It's a
conversation. I almost blanked.
I was like, Ash. I was like, literally.
I know. So thank you so much for writing. And I feel like this is such a very specific topic that every relationship goes through for one reason or another.
Yeah.
You know, it could be anything could be causing a rift in between you and your partner, especially like intimacy wise and being able to be vulnerable with stuff like that. And it could be something super serious, like the loss of a family member could like throw you off. It could be something so little, like you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
It threw you off, you know, and you just need to reset and start again tomorrow. This is normal. So you're normal, anonymous.
Also,
we're all normal.
No one's posting about that. Like, it's weird if people go out of their way to post like, oh, I don't like my husband right now, or he's bothering me.
Yeah.
And most of the time, nobody talks about it because they like to protect the image of their relationship.
Yeah.
But just know everyone struggles. Everyone has moments where they're like, get away from me.
Yeah.
Like, you're grossing me out.
Yeah.
I can't stand you.
Space. People need space. I'm like, that's a real thing. And it's okay to protect that space. But also, if you don't, Taryn and I talked this about when we were roommates, if you don't clue them in that you need that space, they're going to read it wrong. They're going to take it personally. So let him know when you're not in the mood to be touched. And then next time he jokingly like touches you or jokingly does something and kind of reaches out, just be like,
you can make it fun.
If
my code word was pineapple and you came to hug me, I would literally look at you and I would hold your shoulders and I'd be like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
But pineapple.
Yeah.
And then I would like give you a quick hug and I'd be like,
I would be like, got
it. I would literally pet your face and be like, you know, I love you, right? I love you. And then I would say my word and then I would move on. And then I would like, I would make it this fun, funny thing to where like, and then if I was opposite, if I was him and you said pineapple, I'd be like, after like 20 minutes, I'd be like, I'm just checking in. Are we still like pineapple level or like,
which I feel like women are really good with that when it comes to being on our periods, just being like, I'm not in the mood right now. I'm on my period. So back off, you know, like I feel like we're good at vocalizing that and we need to be able to do the same thing for literally anything, whatever our boundary is that day. We need to be able to talk about it and openly be like, not today, not because of you, but because this is what I'm struggling with.
Yep. I fully agree. Normalize it.
Normalize it.
The downhills.
So many downhills.
Yeah. But it's so funny because all these relationships that like they like date night or like here's our marriage tip for the day or like blah, blah, blah. And then you feel so crappy about yourself. And then like 2 years later, they get divorced and you're like,
there it is.
Oh, and it's not that you ever like love other people's pain. But sometimes it's like I love people who can just be like, no, we were struggling today. Like, or we were fighting about this.
Honesty,
like, he was bothering me.
The authenticness of every relationship has flaws. Every relationship is going to have bad days.
Absolutely.
We need to get better at talking about the bad days.
Yeah. I love it. Anyways. Okay. Well, thank you so much for writing in. If you guys have a story, now is your time to write in. And it can be something short and sweet. It can be a topic you want to talk about.
It can be a scary story for our Supercast.
Scary story.
Scaries.
We're welcoming them in right now. Also, Supercast, it's like $5. So sign up. Get your extra content. And yeah, we love you. We would be nothing without you. So keep writing in. Here is our dad joke.
Hit us with it.
And our first writer, you can include this in your next monthly email with the right link. Did you hear the sausage joke? It was the worst.
Ugh. That was good.
Was it, Ash?
It was good.
Are you faking?
It was very good.
Pineapple.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you made it to the dad joke, we love you the mostest. Like Taryn said, be sure to send us your emails. And check out our premium listening service where you can get more content of Taryn and I. Send in your stories. I already said that.
You know what? I did an experiment. I was like, I'm going to see if, like, if I say the stuff, if she'll still feel like she needs to say it.
How dare you? I have a rhythm and you just pulled the rug out from underneath me.
You were looking at me too while I was saying it. And I was like, what's she going to say after this?
In my head, I was like, she's taking away the write-in email. And then she also mentions Supercast. And I was like, that's everything I say at the end.
I'll never do it again. I promise it was just an experiment. No, mm-mm. That's your thing. So sorry.
I'm going to show up with a dad joke next week.
Do it. We love you guys so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.